This Morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Did the U.S. pay ransom to Iran? Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka. It is Wednesday, August 3. Welcome aboard. Here's what's up this hour.
The Obama administration insists there is no quid pro quo, but the Wall Street Journal says the U.S. sent cash to Tehran just as four American detainees were freed.
On the campaign front, President Obama is challenging congressional Republicans to revoke their endorsements of Donald Trump.
On the tech front, Instagram has a new feature that mimics Snapchat, and the Black Hat Cybersecurity Conference begins today in Las Vegas.
And the Americans who not only can't pay back student loans, but also the ones who won't.
There's a lot of people who feel that they were just deceived by their schools, and they feel that they didn't get what they were promised, so why should they have to pay a penny back?
Wall Street Journal reporter Josh Mitchell on the standoff between borrowers and the federal government, with you and me potentially on the hook. He's here in about 10 minutes. The turbulence continues for Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump. For one, Republican defections piled up, including the first Republican member of Congress to endorse Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton. This is largely the fallout from Mr. Trump engaging in an argument with the parents of a Muslim American soldier who died in Iraq. Mr. Trump's recent disparaging remarks about Kaiser and Ghazala Khan, who appeared at the Democratic convention, seem to have been a last straw for at least some Republicans. Mr. Trump, meanwhile, speaking at a rally in Virginia yesterday, said voters would stick with him over Mrs. Clinton because of his vow to appoint conservative justices to the Supreme Court.
We have people that don't know what they're doing. Hillary Clinton will be worse.
Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich, meanwhile, says Mr. Trump has allowed himself to get dragged down into personality politics, which are to his complete disadvantage. Also, Mr. Trump told the Washington Post he won't be endorsing House Speaker Paul Ryan in his re-election contest in Wisconsin next week, nor will he endorse Arizona Senator John McCain. Well, President Obama is going after Mr. Trump more forcefully now, saying he's unfit to replace him in the White House. This follows, of course, Mr. Trump's criticism of the parents of a Muslim U.S. Army captain killed in Iraq. Mr. Obama, responding to a question at a news conference, also called on GOP leaders to revoke their endorsements of Mr. Trump.
The question I think that they have to ask themselves is, if you are repeatedly having to say in very strong terms that what he has said is unacceptable, why are you still endorsing him?
Mr. Trump, not one to let criticism go unanswered, linked his opponent, Democrat Hillary Clinton, to the president's record and called out her personality.
By the way, she's got a bad temperament. She's got a temperament of a loser.
Mr. Obama has said before that Mr. Trump lacks an understanding of world affairs, especially after he suggested South Korea acquire nuclear weapons, called on Japan to pay for the U.S. troop presence there, and threatened to make America's support for allies in NATO contingent on their financial contributions. Most recently, Mr. Trump said during an interview that Vladimir Putin, Russia's president, quote, is not going into Ukraine if he is elected president. Blockbuster story from the Wall Street Journal today, which says the Obama administration secretly organized an airlift of $400 million worth of cash to Iran that coincided with the release in January of four Americans detained in Tehran. Wooden pallets stacked with euros, Swiss francs, and other currencies were flown into Iran on an unmarked cargo plane. Details from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The Journal says the money represented the first installment of a $1.7 billion settlement the Obama administration reached with Iran to resolve an old dispute over a failed arms deal. Senior U.S. officials say the timing was coincidental, not any quid pro quo. But President Obama never mentioned the cash payment when he took credit for the prisoner release in January. Critics say the payment amounts to ransom, which is against U.S. policy and encourages more kidnappings. Meanwhile, since the cash payment, Iran's military has arrested two more Iranian Americans. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. U.S. officials acknowledged to the Wall Street Journal that Iranian negotiators on the prisoner exchange said they wanted the cash to show they had gained something tangible. Meanwhile, lawmakers on Capitol Hill have expressed concern that the cash would be used by Iran to fund regional allies, including the Assad regime in Syria and the Lebanese militia Hezbollah, which the U.S. designates as a terrorist organization. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
When work takes you on the go, you need a laptop that can keep up. Dell's XPS 13 empowers small business owners to collaborate anywhere with incredible battery life and performance that's four times faster when you refresh to new Dell PCs featuring Intel Core processors. Learn more at Dell.com/radio. That's Dell.com/radio. Dell.com/radio.
You don't have to be a retail giant or government agency to be the victim of a costly data breach. If you run a website and collect customer data, your small to mid-sized business is just as likely to be targeted by hackers. The Barracuda Web Application Firewall provides cost-effective instant security against automated and targeted attacks, making this WAF a must-have for your SMB. Reclaim your network. Try a Barracuda web app firewall risk-free at barracuda.com/WAF.
Good Wednesday to you. It's kind of like the staring contests you used to have as a kid. That's the situation between student loan borrowers in default and the federal government, which wants to see at least some effort to repay the loans. Wall Street Journal reporter Josh Mitchell says several million Americans have gone at least a year without making a payment, some because they can't and some because they won't. Josh, set this up.
Well, there's about 7 million people in the United States who have student debt, and they've gone at least a year without making a payment. That's what the government considers a default on student loans. And this is basically one of the most intractable problems when it comes to student debt, because the government is trying everything to reach these people. They're sending text messages, emails, mail, and they just are not responding to the outreach.
Wow. And why is that?
With a lot of people that I've talked to, they feel that they shouldn't have to. First, let me state that clearly, very clearly, there are a lot of people who are in dire straits, who are unemployable. Maybe they're underemployed. They're making very little, and they just don't have the extra money to make these payments. So I don't want to downplay that side of things. But I think there's an underappreciated aspect here, which is that there's a lot of people who feel that they were just deceived by their schools, and they feel that they didn't get what they were promised, so why should they have to pay a penny back?
Speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Josh Mitchell, who is this family that you profiled, by the way, the Osbournes here, this Jason Osborne and his wife?
Yeah, so they're a pretty good example, I think. They were unemployed just after the recession. This was around 2009, and they went to they live in Oregon. They're of middle age, so they were about 40 at this time, and they decided that they wanted to boost their career prospects. The labor market was weak. This was a good time to go back to school. The government encouraged people to go back to school. They had heard about this for-profit school near them where they could become healthcare workers, and they specifically decided that they wanted to become phlebotomists. These are those workers that draw your blood when you go into the doctor's office. And so they took a couple of certificate programs, so they didn't even earn a bachelor's degree here. They simply earned certificates, and when they came out, they couldn't find a job, and they soon realized that there really isn't a market for these type of healthcare workers that they studied to be. The average phlebotomist in the U.S. makes about $32,000 a year. So there isn't really high demand for these type of workers. They're not really highly skilled workers. And so now they're about, combined, they're about $46,000 in debt. They couldn't find a job in healthcare. And they're now, you know, the wife is working as a maid. And the husband is working for a company where he's basically in sales. And he's making $13 an hour. And so they have a little bit of extra money. But they steadfastly say, I'm not going to pay a penny to the government. They feel that not only did the predatory school behave badly, but they're frustrated that the government even extended them so much debt in the first place for a job that, you know, doesn't pay that much. They've come to realize that this was a bad decision on their part, and they regret their decision, but they feel in this case the government is a predatory lender. So they refuse to pay a penny.
Can't be good for your credit score, right? Or
exactly. I mean, it hurts their credit score, which in turn hurts the economy. That's one of the concerns that the government has right now. Is there isn't really a systemic risk, I don't think, or at least a lot of the policymakers in Washington don't think that there's a systemic risk of this huge bubble that's going to burst with student loan. But there is a risk that these 7 million people in default. Just, you know, this is a small, but it's actually it's a sizable cohort, but it's still a minority that. They've fallen off of the map, and this hurts their credit, which in turn hurts their ability to buy cars, which hurts the economy, and it hurts their ability to move to better jobs. So there is this concern that it's not going to bring down the economy, but that it's actually a drag, and that's what the government's trying to solve here.
And how about this for a catch-22, right? You're not paying back those loans, so your credit's getting hurt. And you've heard us do stories before on this show how some employers these days and hiring managers are checking credit reports before hiring somebody. Wall Street Journal reporter Josh Mitchell in Washington. It's 21 minutes after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
According to Donald Trump is dismissing President Obama's time in the White House as a disaster after Obama said he was not fit to succeed him. In an interview on Fox, Trump called Obama weak and ineffective. Meanwhile, at a rally in Virginia, Trump told the crowd that a retired Army lieutenant colonel had given him a Purple Heart backstage, but his words came across to some vets as disrespectful.
Man, that's like big stuff. I always wanted to get the Purple Heart. This was much easier.
After the rally, Trump told a TV reporter he regretted not serving during Vietnam. Amid the feuding with Republican ranks, prominent party donor and fundraiser Meg Whitman has publicly endorsed Hillary Clinton, saying Trump's demagoguery had undermined the fabric of our national character. A doctor backed by agriculture and business groups has ousted Congressman Tim Huelskamp in a Kansas Republican primary race. The contest focused on the Tea Party-backed incumbent's battles with GOP leaders and criticism that he was too cantankerous to be effective. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that the Obama administration secretly organized an airlift of $400 million in cash to Iran that coincided with the January release of four Americans detained in Tehran. Senior U.S. officials denied any link between the payment and the prisoner exchange, saying the money represented the first installment of a $1.7 billion settlement the Obama administration reached with Iran to resolve a decades-old dispute over a failed arms deal. North Korea has sent another signal of its anger over U.S. plans to deploy a missile defense system in South Korea by the end of the year. The country fired a ballistic missile today that flew hundreds of miles and landed near Japan's territorial waters. And you just knew this was coming. A New Jersey man isn't just hollering, "Get off my lawn," to people who play Pokemon Go. He's going to court. Jeffrey Martyr has filed a lawsuit in federal court in San Francisco against Niantic Incorporated, Nintendo, and the Pokemon Company, seeking class action status for others who have had Pokemon stops and gyms placed on their property. Reps for the game companies weren't available to comment on the suit.
They do seem a little slow to react to some of these accusations at times.
Going to be a lot of lawsuits over this.
Oh, man. Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. If you're so unhappy with this year's presidential candidates that you're vowing to move to Canada if either wins, you're probably not alone. However, you should be aware of the financial and paperwork hurdles that await if you'd like to skip town in favor of our neighbor to the north. It's a story from Kelly Grant at CNBC.com. Kelly, what'd you look at?
You hear it all the time on social media these days is, oh, if so-and-so wins, I'm going to move to Canada. And so we started thinking about, well, what does that look like financially? I mean, I know it's just something people say on social media, but if you actually wanted to do it, unfortunately, the process is not easy and it's not going to be cheap.
I can imagine. All right, so what are some of the hurdles you might encounter?
Well, the first thing right up front is sort of recognizing that Canada, just like the U.S., has its own immigration policies and procedures. It's not just that easy to say, I'm going to pick up and move to Canada. You have to fill out the paperwork to live there. And, you know, for a lot of people, we know that they don't have any money saved for a rainy day. So when we're talking about these applications, which can easily be, you know, $400 plus, depending on, you know, if you're moving you, a spouse, if you're hiring a lawyer, you know, it can run into the tens of thousands of dollars, U.S. dollars, by the way. And then on top of that, once you've submitted your paperwork, it can take months and in some cases years to actually have the Canadian government look at that and say yay or nay.
Is that right? I had no idea. Even if say, you come with a big job in hand or something?
That's the exception. If you come with a job in hand, then, you know, the process can be streamlined a little bit, although it can still take, they say, on average about 6 months to get that approval. The thing you need to realize there, though, is, and just like, you know, if you're trying to work in the U.S. and you're not from here, you know, the employers have to go through some extra hoops. Same thing applies in Canada. Canadian employers are going to have to fill out some paperwork, submit that to the government, and essentially point out that, you know, why they're hiring a foreigner as opposed to someone who lives in Canada.
Got it. What about on the tax front?
On the tax front, unfortunately, you are not getting away from any U.S. tax changes that a new president might put in place. As a U.S. citizen, you're still required to file your return, even if you're living in Canada or anywhere else. And from what we hear from tax experts, that is not going to be a fun process, even more so than it is, you know, already not a fun process here. You have extra requirements to detail your foreign-held bank accounts, your investments. And, you know, you've got a lot of other paperwork to figure out. In some cases, you might end up being doubly taxed.
Oh, wow. I guess unless you ultimately renounce your citizenship, I mean, then
yes,
that comes into play.
And that, of course, takes time because you've got to have a new citizenship first, and then you have to renounce your U.S. citizenship. And when you sort of look at the timeline of all of this, trying to put it together, whichever candidate you hate, they'd be in office and then out of office by the time you would wrap this up. So your motivation's got to be a little stronger than, you know, just trying to escape one particular political candidate.
Thanks, Kelly. Kelly Grant from CNBC.com. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business. It all starts with a stunning website. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from, and the drag-and-drop editor, there is no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your own website today. The result is stunning.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday, August 3rd. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Wall Street Journal says the Obama administration paid cash to Iran just as four detainees were released in January. Florida Zika virus cases now up to 15. The cybersecurity convention known as Black Hat begins today in Las Vegas. One topic there, how ransomware could be used to hijack Wi-Fi connected cars. A Japanese gymnast in Rio has rolled up a $5,000 cell phone bill thanks to roaming charges for Pokemon Go. And USA Today says the teams with the best shot at winning the Super Bowl are the Cardinals, Seahawks, Patriots, Panthers, Steelers, and Packers. Well, more concessions, but not panic, from federal health officials regarding the Zika virus in a Miami neighborhood. CDC Director Dr. Tom Frieden says the mosquito control efforts aren't achieving desired results.
We also don't yet have ideal ways to control the particular mosquitoes that spread Zika, and we need better methods and tools for mosquito control.
Dr. Frieden adds that he doesn't expect major outbreaks in this country, in part because of better sanitation and the use of things like air conditioners and window screens. Well, what exactly can we expect? We're joined now live by Steve Moore, known as Mosquito Steve. He's based in the Dallas area and makes mosquito repellents. Steve, good morning. The CDC doesn't expect these widespread outbreaks. Do you believe them?
I actually do believe them, yeah, on that point. There's a lot of stuff I don't believe, but that I do believe.
All right, and why is that? Why should we believe that this is just kind of contained in very local neighborhoods?
Well, the difference is, like, for West Nile virus, that is carried through the Culex mosquito, and the Culex mosquito will then infect a bird, and a bird will fly, and so that helps it travel. Zika doesn't travel that way, so it's only carried from human to human, and so it should just stay in that one-mile area. Now, there will be other outbreaks, but they all should be, you know, localized, very similar to this one.
Okay, but we don't seem to be figuring out ways to get rid of these mosquitoes.
Well, I have I've tried to contact some people. I've been preaching about this for a long time. When I first got in the business, I was spraying the same kinds of things that they're spraying now, and I was seeing the resistance then, and so that's when I started developing natural products that actually work more effectively than chemicals. But there's this, you know, closed-mindedness in the industry. Pest control guys, they don't want to believe that a natural product could actually work better.
All right, so I saw and read a story earlier on the program about how these things can breed in something as small as standing water in just a bottle cap.
Yeah, half an inch of water is all it takes. So if you've got the corrugated downspout coming away from your house, if there's a little bit of water standing in there from your sprinkler or something like that, yes, yeah, it can grow in there. We're hearing a lot these days about mosquitoes indoors, where people they've gotten inside and they go and they lay eggs in the pee trap. And they're breeding indoors. So, yeah, they're going to outlive us. They'll probably outlive cockroaches.
We're joined live this morning by Steve Moore, known as Mosquito Steve. He's in Dallas. He makes mosquito repellent. So you think that the stuff that you make could stop these mosquitoes?
Well, I do, and so and what makes my product different is I actually go outside and I test the product on mosquitoes. Most of the information these guys get is in a lab, and while I understand what they're doing in a lab, mosquitoes outdoors are different than they are when they're raised in a lab. And so I test all my products. I've actually had more than 900 mosquito bites in one night as I go out and test this stuff and count mosquitoes every night to make sure, you know, what works, what doesn't, how long it works. And so I've tested all their products as well as mine.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Is there something wrong with you?
There is a lot wrong with me. There really is.
But I mean, at least in my simpleton view, right? Once we get rid of this particular mosquito, if we do, there's just going to be another one that beats these repellents until we figure out a new repellent.
Exactly. That's why it really comes down to personal responsibility is what it is. It's if everybody will take care of their own yard and their own standing water and they'll spray. My stuff is a repellent, so we don't actually kill them because we found that killing, you know, is just not effective. And so we just repel them and push them away. And, we need mosquitoes, unfortunately. You know, birds and lizards and frogs and bats all eat them. And so we don't want to kill them, and we don't want to kill those other the other fauna. So I mean, it's important to just take personal responsibility. Wear repellent. That's what you should be doing. If you're in Florida right now, wear repellent every day, all the time.
Yeah, very good. Hey, thanks for sharing the insight. Nice talking to you. Steve Moore, known as Mosquito Steve. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Men, if you're like me, you appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. The sort of shave that cuts clean, without the burn. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price? And if saving money and a clean shave isn't incentive enough, Harry's will give you their starter set, complete with a razor, three of their world-famous blades and shaving cream for just $15. And shipping is always free. We'll also give you $5 off your first order. Our way of saying thank you for trying us. How are we able to save you all this money and still give you the best shave you'll ever enjoy? By owning the factory that manufactures them. That's how. So go to Harry's.com right now and enter code 4000 at checkout. That's Harry's.com, code 4000.
Reminder, by the way, that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username at This Morning Show. If you like cynicism and sarcasm, you can follow me directly at Gordon Deal. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's at Radio Gavin 1 is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, authorities in Southern California are scratching their heads after they say a man caught climbing a fence at a jail was trying to get in, not out. Sheriff's officials say 28-year-old Shane James McDonald wasn't a prisoner at the Central Detention Center in San Bernardino when he was spotted scaling the perimeter fence early Sunday, but he did have a warrant out for his arrest. The Riverside Press Enterprise reports that McDonald was arrested on suspicion of trespassing and on the warrant. Officials still aren't sure why McDonald wanted to get into the jail, but that's where he ended up. He's being held in lieu of $25,000 bail.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard a lot about this recently. Remember the guy who turned himself in at a bar a couple of weeks back?
Yes.
We talked about that.
Yes.
He was in a bar drinking,
right,
when he called the police and said, "Hey, I'm here, come pick me up." You know, he had escaped from jail and it was too rough for him out there. Remember, he was covered in bug bites and
right.
You know, being on the outside was worse than being on the inside. Maybe that's a theme going around here, that it's better to be on the inside.
So that story though had the beer component to it.
Of course, yeah.
This one here, I'm guessing, also may involve some sort of
some
alcohol.
Substance. Perhaps.
Yes.
We'll find that out later.
Yes, because if he really wanted to make things easy for authorities, he just would have walked in the front door and said, "I'm here."
Right.
But instead,
he wanted to scale the wall.
I can't find the door. I'm just trying to climb the fence here. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, boy. And let this be a lesson to all you kids out there. You have to grow up sometime. This was made painfully obvious recently when a pair of British fire departments responded to separate emergency calls for teen girls trapped in baby swings within 2 days of each other. First, firefighters in Wolverhampton, England. By the way, that's the most British sounding name ever, isn't it, for a town? Wolverhampton?
Yes, and fairly known for its soccer, by the way.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The Wolves soccer team?
Oh,
come on,
of course,
listen,
of course.
Saturday morning TV. Would you flip it on, please, at 8:45 a.m. in the fall?
I should have known that. So in Wolverhampton, they responded to a local playground Saturday evening on a report of a 14-year-old trapped in a swing designed for a baby. Photos tweeted by the fire department show that they had to cut through the swing to free the girl. That must have made her feel great, the tweeted photos by the fire department. Then another fire department about an hour away in Aldridge tweeted that they were called out on Monday to free a teen girl trapped in a similar predicament in what appears to be the same type of baby swing. This time, the firefighters were able to lift the girl out of the swing without damaging the playground equipment.
Mm. Hi, sweetie. What'd you do all day? Well, I was outside for a little while and...
Yeah.
Got stuck in the swing.
Now, while, you know, there's no way that I could even think about squeezing my body into a baby swing, I do get a little nervous sometimes on the playground with my kids when I get on the swings with my kids sometimes. You know, they'll be on the swing next to me, and I'm like, oh, I'll sit on the swing and swing with them. And you hear the creaking of the swing. You think the thing's going to collapse any second.
Yes. And with your amateur eye, you have to somehow gauge how bad the rust level is on the metal swing.
Yes. Yeah. What year, what decade do we think that this swing set was put up? 60s, 70s, 80s?
When was this thing last serviced, cleaned, oiled somehow, right? Thank you, Mike. It's 13 minutes before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you could be with us. 8 minutes before the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Donald Trump has ignited new party tensions by refusing to endorse House Speaker Paul Ryan and Arizona Senator John McCain. The Republican presidential nominee told the Washington Post he's not quite there yet when asked about an endorsement of Ryan, who faces a primary election next week. A judge has rejected Trump's pretrial bid to throw out a lawsuit brought by Trump University students who said they were defrauded by its real estate seminars. U.S. District Judge Gonzalo Curiel says there's a genuine issue of material fact as to whether Trump knowingly participated in a scheme to cheat the students who paid up to $35,000 to learn Trump's real estate investing secrets from his handpicked instructors. Florida is conducting an aerial insecticide spraying campaign in an effort to kill mosquitoes carrying the Zika virus. The campaign is covering a 10-square-mile area that includes the area just north of downtown Miami that health officials have identified as the hub of Zika transmission. CDC Director Tom Frieden warned of the seriousness of the situation.
All over the U.S., wherever the Aedes aegypti mosquito is present, generally in the south of the U.S., women who are pregnant really need to do everything they can to protect themselves from mosquito bites.
The CDC has issued an unprecedented travel warning urging pregnant women to avoid travel to the Miami neighborhood that's at the center of the investigation. Tropical storm Earl is gaining strength, and forecasters say it will likely strengthen into a hurricane before it hits parts of Belize, Honduras, and Mexico. On Sunday, while it was still a tropical storm, it was blamed for a bus accident that claimed the lives of six people in the Dominican Republic. And love him or hate him, we apparently want to see what he'll have to say. Simon Cowell's role as a judge on America's Got Talent this summer helped boost ratings to their highest level ever. So Simon will return to the judge's chair in the upcoming season, joined by Mel B, Heidi Klum, and Howie Mandel, as well as by Nick Cannon, who is returning as host.
It's one of those shows that really gets a lot of play on social media. When some of those entertainers,
amazing people on there.
Yeah, right.
It's good stuff.
Good Facebook postings I see sometimes. They're good. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Not available in all states.
Whoa, what do you have there?
It's a Reese's Irvine's frozen yogurt. We just had our robot make one.
A robot made your frozen yogurt?
Yes, from Reese's Irvine's, the world's first fully interactive robot vending machine that serves 9 flavors of delicious yogurt with 6 amazing toppings. And it's available for an exclusive franchise opportunity.
Wait, you mean I can own my own frozen yogurt robots?
And make money at the same time. These robots are the future of frozen yogurt franchising. They can be placed almost anywhere and operate 24/7. Malls, theme parks, grocery stores, you name it.
A robot that serves frozen yogurt. That's revolutionary.
Exactly. Reese's Irvine's Froyo robots are taking the market by storm. No more messy yogurt bars, long lines, or do-it-yourself machines. Just delicious frozen yogurt in 60 seconds or less. Anytime, anywhere.
How do I get my own Reese's Irvine's robots?
It's easy, but you better act now. Locations and machines are going fast. Just go to froyofranchising.com and enter promo code 2222. That's froyofranchising.com, promo code 2222.
Hey, glad you're with us. So you remember yesterday we told you about the Halifax Police Department in Canada pulling over the cars of unsuspecting motorists to hand out free ice cream as a goodwill gesture. Now we're getting more stories about this. Even police departments in the U.S. going so far as to buy their own ice cream trucks. In New England, Boston police have been handing out free ice cream since 2010 as part of what they call Operation Hoodsy Cup. The plan: cops serve free cups of ice cream to children in predetermined areas of the city to foster a sense of community. But this week, the department added a new ice cream truck to its fleet. The $89,000 vehicle debuted in Roxbury, according to the Boston Globe, and was made possible by the Boston Police Foundation. Elsewhere, the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department unveiled its own ice cream operation called Operation Polar Cops. The department also has an ice cream truck purchased by the St. Louis Police Foundation. It was handing out sweets during National Night Out last night. They tweeted ice cream donated by Prairie Farms Dairy and Schnucks with the hashtag STL Polar Cops. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business. It all starts with a stunning website. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from, and the drag-and-drop editor, there is no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your own website today. The result is stunning.